Thank you, microdose.com. That's all I have to say right now. I have been traveling so much, planes, cars, like long, long drives. My body hurts, you know, sleeping in different beds, in different hotels, you know, everything's kind of screwy. And thank you, microdose.com. I know you've heard the word microdose before, but this is microdosing THC. And microdose gummies deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. And you deserve to feel good. You can go to their website, microdose.com, and learn all about microdosing THC. But I'm telling you, it is amazing. They have all different strains that help with all different issues. A friend of mine just sent me a photo of her with her order from microdose.com saying thank you. I'm telling you, a lot of people do this, all sorts of people. And they do it to feel healthier. They do it to perform better. They do it to focus. They do it to sleep. They do it for pain. They do it for relaxation. It really helps your mind and body be at peace. So really check it out. Microdose.com is amazing. And the product, they taste delicious, number one. But the product is so damn good. And you deserve to feel better. So what are you going to do? You're going to go to microdose.com. If you don't already know, you're going to learn about microdosing THC. And when you get there, you're going to get 30% off your first order plus free shipping today at microdose.com. Promo code Judy Gold. It is available nationwide. That is microdose.com, promo code Judy Gold, J-U-D-Y-G-O-L-D, for 30% off and free shipping. That is a lot, 30% off. And the stuff is amazing. I'm telling you, microdose.com, promo code Judy Gold. You're welcome.
Well, I don't see the point in waiting any longer. Let's bring her out. The star attraction, the one you came to see. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Ms. Judy Gold.
In your families now, do you feel that you are just that unit? People, I think non-LGBT people don't realize that because we're so often rejected by our family and because we are closeted and can't or were and couldn't ever tell the truth, we created our own families. So this idea of creating your own family is not new to us. So you guys are both said, you know, we wanted these anonymous donors so that we could be a unit. Do you have, you know, and I definitely do. My kids are grew up in a village. There were other. How about you guys? And I mean, I think that that's something about LGBTQ families that is a little different than heteronormative. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%.
Because I think we do, our friends are our family. There's so many uncles and aunts that are not blood related. Go ahead.
Yeah, we're in the same group of mom friends. So we do have that village of gay mom friends that is the how this podcast even came about. We do. My kids have, so they call all of our gay mom friends aunt so-and-so and aunt so-and-so. And there's one husband in the mix, but they call him Aunt Pat just to keep it real. keep the theme going. But yeah, we have a huge village of extended family who mirror our family so that they can see.
Yeah.
Other two mom families. We need more two dad families, honestly. Yeah. I'm trying to work on getting more of those in our circle. But most definitely, yes, they are being raised by a village of like-minded, non-heteronormative folks.
Right.
Yeah. I feel like mine is only slightly different in that I chose my family because my family of origin was so fucked up. Right. So like when I went to college, it was the first time I was like, I discovered like, oh, it doesn't have to be the way it was at my house.
Right.
And so I made all those people my family. Now, if I had married a man, would I be so adamant about my kids, like Uncle Dave and Aunt Heather and all that? Maybe not.
Right.
But they are my extended family. And then because a lot of my college friends are straight, because I wasn't gay, right, even though I played lacrosse, which is, you know,
you
funny.
You were gay. You weren't out.
Thank you, Judy. I'm sorry. It's hard to say, but,
I wasn't there yet.
But because of that, I put a lot of gay stuff in their life. So every summer my kids go to Camp Highlight. It started with Maxine when she was 8, and it's it's 1 week sleepaway camp for kids of parents who are LGBTQ, and they get to meet other kids who are like them.
Oh God, I wish you could have gone on that Rosie Cruise. Do you ever go to Family Week in Provincetown?
We were supposed to go this summer for the book. Yeah.
You got to come next summer.
I would love to.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. We would.
Yeah. If we could do a book thing together. All right.
That would be so fun.
Can you explain to the audience what a closed and open. Now when I'm just, cause people ask me these questions all the time. When you pick a sperm donor, we do have a lot of information.
Yeah.
And people have different priorities. I had friends who were like, here's a baby picture of my partner. Can you match someone who looks like her or him? Right. I know that you had an audio. We had nothing.
Like staff impressions. They give you staff impressions. They give you celebrity lookalikes.
Yep.
For the donor.
That started in the middle of our first search.
Mm-hmm.
Because we had a donor so keen on, and we were like, this guy. And then they came out with the staff impressions or the celebrity look like, and it was like Chris Martin from Coldplay. And we were both like, never mind then.
It's so funny.
Like, he's not handsome.
I guess we started in 94 or 95 looking for sperm. We got the Jewish catalog, which they're slim pickings. And then we kind of went by health. And, you know, they get to fill out like what these sort of provocative questions, like, you know, why do you want to be this or what, you know, whatever. I remember that one of our donors, which we ended up not using because a baby was born with defects and they called us and said, listen, you don't have the recessive gene, but this woman and this donor had it and the likelihood is blank. Do you still want it? And we were like, no, we don't want to take any chances. But anyway, the donor we originally had, they had a scale of 1 to 7 on good looking, and he was a 7. And
why remember, 7?
I don't know. And I called up 7? And I go, who decides? And they're like, we do. And I'm like, no. we just had paper, like, you know, these packets. So you had an audio recording, right?
Well, yeah. We were online. A baby picture. It was online too. Yeah. So it's online. So you right away, you can just filters. You have to pay extra to get the pictures, you know.
Everything was extra.
Everything, every pay single extra report for everything. But you can get audio downloads. You can get baby pictures. I hear now you can even get adult pictures for an extra fee. Some banks. We didn't have that.
Which one? Can I ask what bank you went to?
I went to California Cryo.
Me too.
Same. Woo! Yeah.
Yeah. But you know, I even had
Westwood. Go ahead.
Well, we didn't go. You didn't go in.
No.
It was all online.
You shipped that.
Right. Yeah.
We ship it. I even had we had picked a different donor at first, a closed donor, because we didn't think we cared about that. And so we had bought vials of him. And then when we talked to, our mom couple friends who had just had a baby, and they told us they chose an open donor. They gave us all the reasons for why they did. And then we were like, oh God, we got to get an open donor. So we decided, we were going back and forth. Are we going to change to this open donor that we like too? And I called the bank, and I remember, and I told the woman, I'm going back and forth. I don't know if I should buy this new guy's vials. I don't even know why I was talking to this woman.
I know.
I don't remember this, but I remember her saying to me, well, for what it's worth, your first donor is really handsome. And I was
but that lady swayed.
And then I was like, well, does that mean the other one isn't? What are you saying? What are you talking about? You know, like, and we joke about this, that it's like when you go into this donor search, it's like the search for Superman.
I know.
And you're looking for all these clues.
Yeah.
You get crazy. You get like
staff impressions. It's like, he's very handsome and he's up to something.
With a swagger, you know,
and you're just like, what is that? You have like 5 sentences that you probably use over and over.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
That's why we still want to talk to somebody who works at a bank who makes those, who
you writes have
those
to.
Things. Yeah. We, yeah. I have somebody, but she's had some family stuff. We're going to get her. Though.
So now that there is 23andMe and Ancestry, do you think you would go with a closed donor?
No.
At this point, no. At this point, I think just based on the decision that I made and why I made that decision, no.
It's so funny that you say that because I remember when we were deciding, they started having, you can be contacted when the kid's 18 or whatever. And I remember saying, but if you had a private detective, you have so much information. I literally said private detective. Okay. So you picked your donors, you got pregnant.
Before you move off this, I want to just say that. So my kids, I have two different donors because the first one ran out. Yeah.
Same.
So, but in my second donor group, one of the women swabbed her kids, found the donor. And we have these secret Facebook groups that are just the families that want to join. Swabbed him, found him, had gone to college with him, knew him, and reached out on behalf of all of us. And I was, both Mary and I were so mad because I was just like, and then shared his name.
I don't want to know this.
Shared his name in his LinkedIn profile. I was like, I don't want to know this guy's a washed up actor that works at Sephora. I did not want to know that.
Right.
And also gay, which is fine. That's, but it's just like, I thought that I was going to know this information when my kid's 18 and you gave it to me a decade early and you took away my choice.
Yes. You take something away.
You could have said, do you guys want to know? But instead it was out there.
Was this a gay mom?
No, it was a single mom by choice.
Mm. Okay. You know, that's really
so now good. I know one of my kids.
Right.
And the other one, by the way, has a sibling that we were living a block and a half away from each other for 2 years and didn't know each other.
Did you register on the donor sibling registry?
Yeah.
You did. Mm-hmm. See, now here's an interesting thing for the listeners. There's a donor sibling registry where you can put in, because a sperm donor has a number that's like a social security number. It doesn't matter what sperm bank you go to. No one has the same.
Oh, wait, I only did through the bank, not the national one. Cause there's a national one, right? We only did through the sperm bank.
Well, this woman had started in the late 90s and my ex did not want, no, we're not. And I thought, what if there's a medical problem, you know? And so I anonymously did it. She ended up getting mad, but it doesn't.
It's a wonder you two didn't make it.
but it is interesting that, you put this in the book, you know, that I said, and this was our, I don't know, philosophy was if the kid asks a question, you answer the question. And then you ask them if they want any more information, if that's going to suffice, because they can't take it all in. Mm-mm. You know what I mean? And I have to say, God bless them. They're all, I have friends who told their kids way too much information at a young age and it screwed them up.
Right.
Yes. Yes.
You know, it was like, wait, what? Who, you know, like, no.
I used your method with my daughter recently because she started asking about the donor. I said, we have some pictures of him. Do you want to see? She said, yes. I showed her the pictures and I'm thinking of you the whole time, Judy.
Oh.
And I said, do you want to know any more? She said, nope. And she walked away.
It's perfect.
Because it can be too much. Yeah.
Because then it's too, then they're like, no, I didn't want that. I don't, you know, that's, was one thing I think I did right. Cause the rest I did wrong. Now,
my daughter's was the audio. I showed some pictures and stuff. She was asking and I said, do you want to hear the audio? And she goes, no, I'm good.
Yeah. See?
Yeah.
They know what their limit is.
Yeah. And my son wants nothing. Doesn't want to hear a thing.
Same. My kids, I'm just going to say something I was going to say this later, but recently, our quarantine, we were talking about, and they have had other, you know, half sibling, whatever you want to, I don't call them siblings because they're not really siblings. It's like exactly what you said. I needed a part of your body, you know, and they have all contacted them. And Henry has said, you know what, listen, I got my parents and my brother, that's my family. And I wouldn't, the only reason we're talking is because of that and no interest. I mean, it was really fascinating.
Yeah.
And so over COVID, I was like, well, I have your packets. And I told you when you're 18, you can have the packet. And they're like, you did? Yes. And they're like, oh, I want to see it. And they literally both took their packets. They were like, oh, all right.
Wow.
And that was it. They didn't care. It was so fucking, it was so fascinating. Okay.
That is fascinating. I hope, so I don't think mine's going to go that way though.
But you don't know. Just can't overload them, you know?
Yep.
Okay. Next, you're pregnant. You're going to give birth. I got to the hospital when Sharon gave birth to Henry. They're like, who are you? Who, it was like, you know, it was 1996. And there was a woman, Alice Feely. I love you, Alice Feely. She was a nurse and she knew me because I was a comedian and she was a lesbian. And she goes, come here. She gave me a wristband and she said, I will make sure that you're taken care of. And I mean,
that's amazing.
Thank God for her. And when Sharon had a C-section and they were like, okay, you can, you know, who are you? It was a And Alice was always like, let her in. She is the, you know, it was amazing.
Were you in the room for the C-section?
Yes. And when Ben was born, 5 years later, we got to the hospital. I said, does Alice Feely still work here? And they said, yes, she's coming in the next shift. And she delivered both of them.
Oh, wow.
That's amazing, Alice Feely.
I love you, Alice Feely.
I love you, too.
Let's get Alice Feely
on here. Let's get her on here.
You get to the hospital. Are you treated differently?
I didn't have any. I mean, we're talking 2009, 2011. Yeah. Not an issue in the world. NYU, the nurses were amazing. You know, it was as if she was
just
my
amazing how much it's changed in like 10, 15 years.
Yeah. My wife gave birth to our first. There were no issues with that. I had an emergency C-section when I gave birth and she didn't get in the room.
Why?
Because it was an emergency, so they rushed me in.
Right.
Everybody who had been on our team that whole time was already in the room. And then more and more people were rushing into the room. This is what she describes. I don't know. I was laid down on the table. But she says she was standing outside of the door in the scrubs that are made for a 6 foot tall man. And just trying to get somebody's attention as people were rushing in. And I guess they were looking, if they had seen a man waiting outside.
Oh, of course. It would be like,
they would have said, come in. She's about to be cut open, but they didn't. She missed it.
Finally, right
when they were cutting me open, I said, where's my wife? And I guess somebody went out there to see if she was out there, but she had been waiting the whole time.
At that point, she was getting a Snickers. She was like, well, that's fine.
She walked in the room and she goes, holy shit, he's fucking here.
They handed me Henry and I looked at him. And Sharon was like bleeding, like she was hemorrhaging and they were like, you're going to have to leave. And I looked at him and I went, oh my God. And Sharon's like, what? Cause she thought, and I go, he's so cute. And then she passed out. But here's a telling story. When we were, you know, and people have such judgment about our types of families. When we were, I guess when Sharon was waiting in the waiting room or something, or I don't know what the fuck was happening. There was a very orthy, I think maybe Hasidic couple, and the husband was waiting in the waiting room and they came out and said, it's a girl, and he left. Okay, so he's like, okay, thanks, and he left.
Oh, what?
Okay, so there you go. You think our fucking families.
Yeah, well, one more thing that happened. When my wife gave birth to our first, we got the birth certificate in the mail and I was listed as father.
Oh, yeah, same.
Yeah,
well, first we got nothing.
We got nothing on ours. It was nothing.
Well, we had crossed out father and put mother, but they still put father. And then Ann called and had an argument with the woman on the phone. And the woman, she said, well, it's not a father. She's the other mother. We need to change this. We need a new one issued. And the woman said, well, are you married? And Ann said, yes, we're married. Well, do you have a marriage certificate? Yes, of course we do. Well, you have to send it to me. Are you telling me every couple...
Right.
Who goes to a hospital to give birth brings their marriage certificate prove fatherhood?
Yeah.
Fuck off. So, but we had to send our marriage certificate in.
That's gross.
You know, to get the name changed.
That's amazing. We just said times have changed. It was nothing. It was just Sharon's name. And then we got one that said mother, father. Then we got the next one that was mother, father. Mm-hmm. And I was the father.
Mm-hmm.
Finally. And this is very recent. is mother. I mean, this is in the last handful.
Because it said parent in between that. Because mine just said my name and had nothing for the other one. So I just look like a hua. And then when we did second parent adoption and sent it in, it came back parent.
Right. We did second parent adoption and it took, I had had all the papers in except for the birth certificate before Henry was born. Me too. And then right when he was born, we got the birth certificate and it took us almost 10 months.
Yeah.
It was 10 months.
Even with everything done, I want to say it was about 9 months before Maxine. And I had everything done, but I just needed the birth because you had to wait to get the birth certificate back.
And then you had to get a court date and you had to get a lawyer. This is all people take so much for granted.
Yep.
You know, these people have kids by fucking mistake.
Yeah.
They have kids by mistake.
Yeah.
And they don't have to go. And we, you know,
too many cocktails.
You have this in the book too, but you know, when we did the Rosie Cruise and the staff was like, oh, I don't know what to expect. And at the end of the week, they were like, these were the best behaved kids we've ever had because they're all wanted children.
Intentional.
Fuckheads. Yes.
Yeah.
And there's some intentional
parenting. Also, Judy, it sounds like you're in the book a lot.
I don't know.
I just, I don't know. I am not.
Poignant moments.
You even got a chapter heading. You got a chapter heading.
I know. I love that. Stacey,
but I'm also, I am in the process of second parent adoption right now because we didn't have our shit together and we're doing it now. And,
I'm telling you, you should have learned from me because Sharon we were so like, oh my God, we have a baby. We didn't do that. She didn't do the paperwork for Ben. Mm-hmm. And we ended up breaking up and our second parent adoption was a precedent setting case in the state of New York. Okay.
Right. So that's in the book too.
Yes, it is. okay. These are all hurdles that we have to now, before there was gay marriage, as I mentioned, we had to travel with birth certificates. We had to travel with, you know, constantly saying, no, I'm proving that, you know, and your kids see this.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, as a girl growing up, never thinking I'd ever be able to marry another woman, or once you have kids and they say to you, wait, why can't you get married? Like, you realize the ridiculousness. It took me having kids to realize, like, well, they think of us as their, like, we should have the same fucking. So if you think we're asking for anything extra, go fuck yourself.
Hey, everybody. If you know me, you know I love my liquid IV. And I love giving it to people and telling people about it. And it's part of my everyday life. I keep hydrated with liquid IV. I put it in my water bottle. Well, I have this one water bottle that I use only for liquid IV. And I put lots of ice in it and cold water because I like it very cold. And it keeps me hydrated and it's delicious. So thank you, liquid IV. And I have to tell you, I've now given it to my son's girlfriend because, you know, they go out partying. You know what I'm talking about. And it has helped her immensely with her dehydration. That it's great for those nights where you know you're going to be having a few drinks. It's delicious. It comes in pear, white peach, grape, lemon lime. Also, there's a lemon ginger one that is great that has a little caffeine. I just love liquid IV. And you need to keep hydrated. It's very important. It affects you on so many levels. So do yourself a favor. Keep hydrated in the best way possible. Some people hydrate to live. Some people live to hydrate. I think I live to hydrate. Liquid IV quenches your thirst faster than water alone. It has 3 times the electrolytes of leading sports drinks, 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness. And this is true. They have a sugar-free stick. They have Liquid IV sugar-free that Elisa, my lover, loves. I don't use the sugar-free. Whatever. But it's also been great for my traveling because I get very dehydrated on my airplane flights. So please, you've heard me say this multiple times. Go get your liquid IV. You have to keep hydrated. It's very important. So however you hydrate, grab your liquid IV hydration multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code JudyGold at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code JUDYGOLD, J-U-D-Y-G-O-L-D, at liquidiv.com. You're welcome.
You talk about adoption, and I love the quote in there. You know, adoption for heterosexual couples, for the majority of heterosexual couples, is a last resort.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And for a lot of gay couples, it's the first resort.
Mm-hmm. It's the first choice.
First choice, yeah.
Yeah. And you know, we didn't talk about in the book around adoption, and it's been coming up a lot, is that when we talk about like how hard like gay men have it with surrogacy or what we have to go through, they go, why don't you just adopt
that?
Like,
yeah,
it's the some lesser choice. Oh, like, yeah, how dare you? There's extra
like,
babies
so
out
selfish.
There.
Yeah.
How it's like,
dare
get a rescue. You need to get a rescue dog. Yeah. I can't believe you're going to a breeder, you know?
Yeah. Right. There's a lot of shame put on gay families for not adopting.
Yeah. And it's like, but you're right though. It is for many, many people. It is a first choice.
Right.
And so they go into these like adoption counseling sessions with so much hope, or they go, because you know, you have to go and you meet with the other adoptive couples a lot of the times for these counseling sessions. So you're with all the other ones, and gay couples go in like thinking, oh my God, we're going to make friends. It's so exciting.
Yeah. Right, right.
And then they get to the room and it's the
like
most
despair.
Dismal, terrible place, because these people, this was not what they wanted.
Right, right.
That's the same thing, by the way, in the clinics. Like you go in, and I just remember going in, and there's women just crying everywhere. And I was like, what is everybody crying about? And it's like, because I was walking in just like, I'm missing a part. But I went into a system where I was treated like I was broken.
Right, right, right. Of course.
I mean, but I did have infertility, and I was broken.
I wasn't broken,
you
Jamie.
Weren't broken.
Yeah, well, Sharon had infertility too. And it was, we went to a fertility, we did what we had to do, and it was really expensive.
There's that too.
Which is why it's so infuriating when young high school kids like throw their kids in the garbage, you know?
In the dumpsters after prom.
I just want to say, I think we skipped over this, that for another question that a lot of people have is when we get inseminated, I had IUI, which is essentially, you could call it a turkey
baster.
Stick
it in there.
But it's a catheter, whatever. Yeah. And they stick it in there.
In the uterus.
Yes. And so you buy the sperm from the sperm bank. It stays at the sperm bank. And when you're ovulating, the doctor calls and says, get it over here. And it's shipped in the hugest fucking thing, by the way, a huge ice pack, like dry ice. And then they open it. It's a tiny little vial. And our doctor... Then they defrost it. She would defrost it in a coffee cup mug with warm water. Okay. She'd literally throw it in the mug.
My God.
And then, you know, we'd get inseminated. So
it's really romantic. It's so romantic.
It is. It really is.
I remember the doctor holding my hand and being like, oh, so you work at MTV? I worked with so-and-so. She was producing a show. And I was like, are you seriously putting something in my vagina right now? And you're talking to me about a producer at MTV.
The doctor that we had at first talked to us about, this was right when the transgender bathroom thing was happening. And they were going to allow transgenders to go to whichever bathroom they felt. There was this thing happening.
All the federal stuff.
Right. This doctor had the nerve with this lesbian couple while he was inside my uterus to say, that's a bad idea. Do you know how many people are going to do the wrong thing with this? Those people are crazy.
What are you fucking talking about?
Exactly.
They're shitting and peeing, you fucking ass. What do people think goes on in bathrooms?
Meanwhile,
you shit,
I'm getting
and you pee, and
inseminated.
Hopefully you wipe and you wash your hands.
And needless to say, that one didn't work. I didn't get pregnant.
And FYI, okay, when you're on a plane, no one gives a fucking shit if you're transgender. There's one fucking bathroom.
Exactly.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
You have chapters in here about religion. You have chapters in here, money. There's just so many things about being out. There are some issues I really wanted to talk to you about. All right. There's two issues. I'll do the less intense issue. We have guys like Anderson Cooper and
Andy Cohen.
And, you know, God love them, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be brutally honest on my podcast, and it'll probably affect my career. But
don't let it affect ours, please, Judy.
Okay.
Because we don't have one.
You know, they're both really talented and smart. And in the age of, you know, in their 50s, they're like, oh, I'd like to have a child.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of money and I'm going to hire someone. And the one thing that really struck me, and, you know, and everyone's like, you know, if you ever watch Anderson, that week was like, congratulations and yeah. Mazel tov mm-hmm. and, you know, mm-hmm. and just the shit that we went through, you know? And yes, they did go through a lot. Like Andy had to go because the surrogacy, had to go to California, you know? But Anderson Cooper had a baby, I guess on a Saturday or I'm not, this is not factual. I don't know, but it was within a few days. He was working. He worked that entire week.
How's that different from any straight dude though? You know, like they all go back to work. Like I worked at MTV and VH1 and they would all have a baby and they wouldn't even take their 2 weeks parental leave. Right,
but they had a partner at home taking care of them.
Right, right.
And I was just like,
they have the money.
Well, she's saying that there's not like the other half.
But I owe
money to pay for somebody to
right. But I feel like that bond, that beginning part is so like be with them, smell them, let them smell you for weeks on it. You know,
you only get it once. You only get it once, and it goes by so fast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So okay, so that was one thing. I was wondering how you felt about. Do you ever get like, oh my, you know, because I don't know why I get like that. I mean, God bless them. And the kids are so cute. Like Anderson's kid is so fucking cute. But, you know, I do have a little bit of like, oh, I'm a white male and I'm in my 50s and I forgot to have a child. And, you know, because if you were a white female in your 50s and you wanted to have a child, it would be lot harder.
I think you would get a serious critique in the media. Right. You get because you're an old woman.
How dare you have
a baby at 50 as a woman?
Well, she ran some like tech company and she had a baby and went back to work right away and she got skewered.
Right.
I remember who it was.
Oh, yes. I do remember that.
You know what I'm talking about? She was like a Fortune 500. It wasn't Amazon, but it was a tech company, I think.
I don't remember.
And yes, she went
I
back to work within a couple of weeks and like she got handed to her. And what's funny is I've never heard anyone say that about Anderson Cooper. I didn't even realize that.
There's a double standard.
Did you find that when you were interviewing, you know,
I know where she's going.
I don't like to,
Jamie doesn't like to hurt anyone's feelings.
No.
I say something bad and then she goes, she doesn't really mean it. She doesn't really mean it.
No, but there was one interview we did. He was a single dad by choice. Had twins, surrogacy, the whole thing, night nanny, day nanny, the whole. And
he had a team.
He had a team. He had an au pair, you know, like he had a team of people working around the clock for him.
And he was like, I still date.
He had a whole life.
And we were like,
and Robin took it in stride. And by the end of the interview, I had to blow off a lot of steam. Right. Just Robin and I stayed later and had
with wine.
Way too much wine
right.
where I just blew off steam. Like that's not fair. Also because my daughter had such a hard time sleeping and he was talking about how he used this night nurse to put the babies on this special
schedule
and blah, blah, blah.
You're just not scheduled.
I was just fuming. You're just not scheduling right. And you're not doing it right. And
we did get a little feedback from listeners that it felt privileged.
Because he was so, that he had all this money to do this. And
Did you find in general that the male, you know, the two dad families were more financially secure, had less sort of issues. Yeah.
For the most part. Yes. Because they have, in order to make,
well, we family, make less money. We make, yeah, make less money, too. You know,
because we're all social workers with hairy legs. I mean, some stereotypes exist for a reason.
Right.
You said we blew our hair up, but that just means we literally just dried it and put it on our hair. We didn't get a blowout. We're lesbians for Christ's sake.
But we've interviewed a lot less men. It's harder to find.
But in order to do the surrogacy route, you need to be established. You need to have $200,000 just sitting in your bank account. And plus more, like we talked to Sean T, you know, the fitness dude, you know, Sean T from Insanity.
Yeah.
It took them how many years?
Five years
of surrogacy and egg donors to get pregnant. I have no idea how much money that was. So you got to have a lot of money to do that. And so, yeah, they're more financially well off. But then like the ones we talked to who adopted, not necessarily are they.
I mean, like the two gay guys who like an old lady in their building that they took care of, like left them money.
Yes, and that's how they did surrogacy. They were,
and they're so wonderful. They brought their son.
But they seem like such great. Yeah.
They were, no, they are wonderful. And they, you know,
it runs the gamut, you know, and there's always going to be the discrepancy.
I feel like in general, you're talking about privilege versus,
right.
You know, it's just like, and I do think there is an innately mother thing where I could not have left my kid that. I couldn't have.
Right.
But that's, I'm not judging, like, but I couldn't have done that.
I am. Okay. Yeah. So
I probably am too, but I'm
not at all.
Here's the topic I really wanted to discuss before we finish was trans families. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be, as I am brutally honest, as is your book, I struggle with the idea when someone transitions, they are, and I believe in gender dysphoria, and I believe that a transgender man is a man, mm-hmm. and I believe that a transgender woman is a woman. I struggle with, I transitioned, and I am living my life as a man, but I still have ovaries, so I'm going to, I want them. I want to understand it better. What did you learn from interviewing trans people who stopped taking their hormones, who then have to live? I mean, because I remember reading in the book about someone who then said, well, I stopped taking my hormones and I was having all those issues that I had before. I had to go back and live my life outwardly as a female. I, you know, there's part of me that's sort of Archie Bunker's like, you know, look, if you're going to be a man, then you got to figure out another way. Like, how do you, and then there's a part of me that's like, you know, God bless you. You wanted to have a child and you, yeah.
I think that like with all of the different stories, it's situational, right? So like we talked to some people like Teak transitioned to a man or he became the man that he always was and said, no way. I never, ever, ever want to carry a child. That is not a part of me. A woman even asked him to do it.
They broke up.
And they broke up over it because how dare you ask me to do something like that? And then we've talked to other couples where, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like a lot of times it comes down to you're with this person who you can have a natural baby with. Yeah. And that, allure of that is so enticing that it's enough for some folks to go off the T
or the estrogen
or the estrogen and try to go about this the natural way, but it puts them into such a terrible, terrible state. And everybody we talk to, it's like, it's hell for them doing it, but
absolutely.
And that couple, Laura and Joanne that you're talking about, they were going to quit.
They were going to quit because it was too much.
Because it was like breaking them up and they were going to quit. And then they
becoming suicidal.
And then they just got pregnant.
The natural way.
Yeah. Like how they were having sex and they, you know, and it was like out of a fight or out of a, like they were going to, but they were already like, we're giving up. But we just talked to somebody, two men, a trans man, and the trans man had the baby. And
they're called, it's a new term. They call them seahorses now. Have you heard that?
No.
Because seahorses, the males carry the babies.
Oh, right. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
And they went through stuff. I mean, it's hard.
It's so hard.
You said the Archie Bunker thing, like we come from a different generation of gays. Like we're lesbians. we still call ourselves lesbians.
You know, but now there's all those other
I know,
terms.
But I know. And I own those, like that's in my book, you know, my book is about like, that's how I talked. I believe in your, you know, we're all the same, you know?
Right. We're all the same team.
And it's that impact versus intention. And right. We all came from my intention counts. My intention matters.
It always should matter. Intention matters.
But this younger generation is about impact and it's your job to
but they're also young. Yes, and that's the key. You haven't been on the earth that long.
And I think that's part of the problem.
But somebody has an impact over what you said. You got to take ownership.
Yes, sure. Absolutely.
100%.
But I think the thing is like this younger generation, and it's not just trans. It's not just like any, it's all of the issues. Their philosophy is you like, you need to be in tune to me. And the way I grew up was like, I need to educate you and help you.
Well,
it's hard. It's hard to switch that.
Because
it's hard to switch that.
I came from the idea that here's the way the world is, and we got to figure out how to be in that world and change those people's minds.
Yeah.
And that's where I come from. It's like, okay, this is the world. I'm going to learn how to live in it, and I'm going to learn how to change it.
Yes. But also I came with the understanding that I'm one of 5% and 95% of the people are different from me.
Exactly.
And so it's my responsibility to help that 95% understand me and see that I'm like, just like them.
But that's what we say on our podcast too. We're of we are totally 100% open to talking to you about this. We are open books. Please come to us with your questions and we're going to answer them to the best that we can, but not everybody.
But I don't think that's the younger generation.
But I also think, learn where you came from and how we got to this place and have some reverence for the people who came before you.
Because we are the history.
Hey everyone, I have a new sponsor and I love them. They're called OneSkin. OneSkin. And what is OneSkin? It is skincare. Skincare that is simple. I guess that's the perfect word. It's simple. It you don't have to put on 18,000 products while you're like dying to get in bed. OneSkin was founded by 4 PhDs dedicated to skin longevity. And this stuff proves you don't need a complicated routine to achieve better skin. Their supplements, they're topical, and they make it easy to help your skin stay younger and healthier without putting all that other shit on your face. And the secret of OneSkin is their OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient scientifically proven to reduce the buildup of senescent, did you like that? Senescent cells, those little cells that contribute to skin aging. And the fewer amount of cells that they're called zombie cells, that means healthier, younger looking skin, fewer wrinkles, fewer lines, reduced age spots, natural barrier. And that is very important, especially now it's spring and summer and you're going to be out in the sun. So, you know, you love your skin, so do something for it. Return it the favor of having skin and treat it nicely. Does that make sense? Well, so I'm very excited about OneSkin and I haven't gotten my product yet, but I am really, really, really looking forward. So I'm going to be giving you an update on my skin, but you should do it with me. For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off their first OneSkin purchase using the code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD, when you check out at oneskin.co. That's oneskin.co, and it's oneskin.co. You really, really need to invest in your skin. It's very important. So OneSkin, you're going to do this today. You're going to go to oneskin.co. It is more than skincare. It's about skin longevity, targeting the root causes of aging to help you look and feel your best at every age. Get started today with 15% off using code JUDYGOLD at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code JUDYGOLD. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. It's time to expect more from your skincare routine. Invest in the health of your skin with OneSkin. You're welcome.
You've talked to children of gays, and my son is in there. I'd love for you to talk to my other son at some point.
Yes, get us, Ben.
He's an athlete, and I think, you know,
that's a whole coming from another world.
Yeah, these guys have never, you know.
I think it'd be cool to have Ben and Henry together.
Yeah.
But without you. Sorry, Judy. Just because I want them to be free.
Here's my go fuck yourself, Belle. Okay.
You could be in the intro.
Have you spoken, are there to any kids of, you know, that are a product of a trans family? Because
no,
that is what I'm really fascinated by. But I mean, I think a lot of them are very young and because I think.
We talked to parents of a kid who is non-binary
But we have not, no. And that's one that's on the list of things we need to find, really.
Yeah. And I, yeah. you know, and I do, and I just want to say this with love and respect, that gender and sexuality are two completely different things.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I just wish people would stop conflating them, you know, because mm-hmm. I get all, so they transition, who are they attracted to? They're attracted to whoever they were attracted to before, okay? Right. The fact that you can't fucking see that, all right. How has the book been doing? If These Ovaries Could Talk, the things we've
good.
Learned.
We got
it's
a little,
doing really well.
Amy Schumer gave us a big shout out.
I saw
her.
That.
I fucking love this book. And we were like, yes, she does.
Yeah.
Oh, shut up. And you didn't give a shit that I loved it.
We do.
Judy.
Whatever. I can't. I don't know.
We're on the Judy Gold Kill Me Now podcast.
Our next book is just going to be focused on Judy Gold's story.
Mm-hmm.
I
think it's doing well.
I can't thank you guys enough. I mean, I could talk to you. I think this is one of the longest podcasts I've ever done. This will definitely be a two-parter, but honestly, there's so much more in this book. And you know, when I think of family, you know, there's all people are brought up by their grandparents. People have parents who are incarcerated. People have parents who have died of cancer and 9/11 and, you know, whatever. They're, you know, don't judge. You know, I always say when people have like judgmental comments, oh, yeah. Look at my kids. Do you think that they, or do they feel that they were gypped? They have two parents. Well, now they have four, but they have two parents who love them, which is more than most kids have. So I really so appreciate it because the questions we get asked are so fucking ridiculous. So everyone needs to get If These Ovaries Could Talk. It's such a great, and listen to your podcast. Before we go, I always ask my podcast guests two questions. Number one, we're very pro mental health. What do you do for your mental health? Are you on antidepressants? What do you do? Go.
Well, in our business partnership, we had a lady to help us.
We went
work
to therapy
some,
together.
To some stuff.
And oh my God, my friend Judy, God rest in peace. And her writing partner went to couples therapy together.
We went it was to very couple, helpful. It actually helped.
It was very helpful.
A lot. Because we were in a dark place right. for a second there.
We were. And I have a lady and I just emailed her, like I told you, Judy, like my daughter was in an accident and it was just like a boiling point between COVID and all of this stuff. And I emailed my lady and sent her like a whole thing. And I was just like, hi, it's me. I've got any open time. Are you doing Zoom calls? So that yeah. I try not to stuff.
So you're both therapy. No, no antis.
No. I mean, a lot of wine, a little.
Yeah, I know. I got to do. I feel like I'm on so many, I kind of, whatever. okay. And it is called Kill Me Now. Cause as you both know, I get pissed off at every fucking little thing. I'm constantly going, oh my God, kill me now. I hate you. I can't. So, what pisses you off more than anything in the entire world? Like, and it can be anything. Like what makes you fucking crazy?
Gosh. All right. I have
start
two.
With Robin. Okay.
Two.
Go.
One is fucking double parking. I don't understand why can't you pull in to the hydrant Brooklyn. Or the end of the block? Like you, I cannot get my car by you.
It really right. is a problem in Brooklyn. It really is.
It's they just completely double park and they don't care. Like on Atlantic, you can't.
Oh, and then
double
they
park.
Beep. Then you got to wait for them to come downstairs. Yeah, I know. I hate that shit.
No, double parking. And then just generally, I hate when people like when there's a rule that's not logical. Like I'll follow your rule. But if it's not logical, I'm going to be very angry. Like for instance, when I worked at Spotify, they had a rule that if someone was there, I had to come down to get them, but they could call me and I could let them up. I was like, but so what's the difference? Like I can just tell you that person, like I see you, I say the same thing. You call me, I say the same thing. Like your rule is stupid. I will follow it if it's not stupid.
That wait, so they wanted you to greet them in person?
I had to come down to pick them up. And I was like, why can't you call me? You called me to tell me to come down. Why can't I just vouch for them on the phone? What is the difference?
Right.
Like you called me.
Did you ever get an answer? Did you ever get an answer?
Well, the guy was like former military and he was just like giving me crap about like safety and security.
I can't, I don't follow rules anyway. And Elisa's always like, Judy, there's a thing, the sign that says, I go, it's not for me.
No, it's yeah. I'm like, that's a walk around that sign, ignore it. And Mary's always like, stop. And I'm like, just go.
Okay,
that's mine.
Jamie.
That's mine. I got so mad.
You got a lot. You got a lot to say. I don't know. Just because it just happened, I was sitting in an outdoor cafe. I can't stand the girls who talk really loud.
Oh my God. What is going on
with the upspeak? You have no,
that was what I was going to say. And the upspeak. I was talking to him and he said to me, and they're so fucking loud. I can't hear myself.
Wait, this is what I want to know. I asked someone this recently. I feel like these, I don't know what the fucking generation it is. Generation, like, you know.
Z, they're Z.
They talk so loud.
It's like, is that because they've had,
but do they have they had not enough personal interaction? Like, shut the fuck up.
And like, don't you see me staring at you with daggers in my eyes shut?
I don't really know.
And he was talking to me. And
like, I think they're pretending to manage. Like, they're emulating what they think a manager does or what a person does. And it's just like, stop doing that.
But they talk so fucking loud. Like, no, they don't even know who's around. It's so fucking annoying.
It's so loud. Especially on the subway.
Oh, my God. Shut your fucking mouth.
Okay, also, don't loud parent on the subway either.
But I know. Wait, but you guys are young kids, but, well, nine is, okay.
No, mine are two and six.
When I would be on the, before I was a mother, and I'd be on the subway and the kids would come on after school, I was like, fuck you, fucking, and now I'm
the
like.
Teenagers are so loud on the subway. Oh, God. I know. But like, but the loud parenting on the subway, the people who are just like, hey, Billy, what I really, and so I just get in my kids' ears and I'm like, I need to tell you something. If you don't stop it right now, I will get off on this subway stop right now. And there will be no TV there. And then I just stand up.
Yeah.
That's great. I like it.
I don't.
Not that we ever take the subway anymore because there's a fucking pandemic.
Back in another
life. Subway in a long time.
Now we just sit here in this house.
Not a long time.
Okay, so before we go, I'm going to ask you both. You don't think I should go to the gym? I'm 57.
I mean, I don't. If you can avoid
dying to go, listen. I understand wanting to go to the gym. I want to go to the gym so badly it hurts. But
yeah.
I mean, I just feel like if you don't have to.
But like the gym you go to, of all the gyms, is going to be as hygienic as any of them can be.
Yeah, but it doesn't even matter because there could be a fucking asshole,
right?
You know, Trump supporter there.
I don't know.
All right. Well,
can you just get yourself a Peloton for God's sakes?
I know. I asked Elisa, and she's like, "No, ain't no independent." Okay, so everyone, Jamie Kelton and Robin Hopkins, thank you so much. The book is called If These Ovaries Could Talk, The Things We've Learned About Making an LGBTQ Family. And the podcast, where can everyone find you guys? Can you tell us?
Anywhere you get your pods.
Anywhere. We're there.
If These Ovaries Could Talk. I wish you guys only good things, the best. Thank you for doing this. It's so important.
Thank you. And thank you for, like, in all seriousness, like, we asked you to be on the podcast. You were like,
yeah.
And then we asked you to do the forward and you were like, yeah. So, and we were like, be on the podcast. We were like, yeah. So you have been so supportive and we really appreciate
the world.
A lot of people ask me to write forwards and I don't because it's a lot, but this is just, thank you for doing this.
Thank you.
All right. You're the best. Keep in touch.
Yes. KIT, as the kids say.
We will.
Thank you so much for listening to part two of Kill Me Now with the one and actually the two and only, Jamie Kelton and Robin Hopkins. I love their book. Go get their book. Read something that's not about you know who. If you like the show, make sure to subscribe, leave a review. It helps more people find this incredible podcast. And the review we only accept 5-star reviews. Okay, that's it. We're done. Okay. No more negativity. Also, if you haven't purchased my book, yes, I can say that, When They Come for the Comedians, We're All in Trouble. Honestly, you know, it's a Shonda. It is a Shonda. It's great. The audiobook is great. The audiobook was in the New York Times book review, like I say every week, because I'm proud. Anyway, let me read a review. I was quote unquote triggered by this book. I read this in one day and was disappointed when I got to the end. It does what a good book should do. Makes me want to learn more about the comedians the author discusses. The subject matter is so topical for the state of affairs today. I am worried about our future even more, if possible. Get over yourself and read this book. Thank you, Holly. I might have read hers before now that I'm reading it. But whatever, it doesn't matter because I'll read another one next week. So listen, do yourself a favor. Read. It's really funny and informative. And it would mean so much to me if you would check it out. So all the order links are on the homepage of judygold.com or wherever books are sold. Also, make sure to follow me on Twitter and Instagram for all upcoming virtual events. Well, there's not a lot of live events, but I'm doing a lot of stuff online. All my dates are at Judy Gold, JEWGOLD, you know, like Jew Gold. I always post about them. And you can go to my website, as I said before. So thank you all so much for listening. Please, I'm recording this before election night. Please, please, that's all I have to say. Please let us have a new America really soon. Thank you all so much for listening. Be well, be safe, wear a mask. Thank you for voting. I love you all for listening. And as we always say, so long.
And everything was wonderful. I'll see you soon. Thank you for the visit. So long.
Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.